Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my darling, kind of sickly little co-host who I adore, Squirrel. Hi, Squirrel.
Hi, everyone. My goal is to not cough on you all night, so I promise.
This is ascension sickness.
It is. But somehow I don't feel very ascended right now.
No, I know, baby. I know. This is when you need to be all in bed, all wrapped up. Anyway,
well,
I love her courage that she's
thing.
On the show.
I know. This is the next best thing. I will receive healing tonight, and I already have, so thank you.
Okay, good. All right, tonight's show, Feeling and Being the Love. The message that I continue to receive is to be the love, and this is true for all of us. We came here to be a bridge of love. Truly, what could be more important than that? And I would say absolutely nothing. And the more time I spend on the other side of the veil, which feels like forever anymore, between the dream time and all the sessions every day, I'm not in the physical too much.
Lucky you, Jackie. I'm ready to turn in my physical body.
Actually, see, you know, and I'd love to be out there, but I still come away with such incredible feelings of love, and even out of the dream time, it's just amazing. And we are loved, and the only thing that stands in the way of our feeling and being that love is us. So receive that love, allow it to flow through you into your world, into everyone and everything you encounter. And the more you do this consciously, the more you will feel the love yourself. Christ and Buddha knew this truth, as did many masters. Be a master. Be the love. I know this sounds pretty easy, but I will go through it later here. You know, I thought I wanted the team to let me just do a show all about love. And they're like, no, you got to talk about all the blockages. And I'm like, crap.
Yeah, easier said than done, right?
Right. It sounds so wonderful and it feels so good. And then they get into all the obstacles, and I'm like, I always feel like the bearer of bad tidings. But, hey, it's my job.
It is.
So this was sent to me by the authors of the Zeta books on Wednesday night. You know, the announcement went out Wednesday morning. I love the synchronicity, and I know, Squirrel, you sent me a couple of things, and they were also in alignment. So I'm always thrilled that the team is right on. Everything's been about love this week. This is part of the message that Judy Carroll received from her main Zeta guide. We ask you to think back very carefully about predictions. And they were talking about the hype and drama of the astral kind. All the stuff about the end of the world and, you know, all the stuff. I mean, we were dealing with this, you know, globally and, you know, it was really throwing people off. So her guide said, we ask you to think back very carefully about these predictions and the ones who made them. It is very clever and cunning trick of the negative forces to appeal to Earth humans' fear and all too common habit of linking into hype and drama of the astral kind. We ask you to please, as we now move forward into a new and higher energy frequency, please start to focus on love rather than fear. This is your shining hope for the future. If humanity can only reach a critical mass of love consciousness rather than fear consciousness, there truly is no limit to the potential you can reach as a planetary culture. And we say again, as we have said before, ascension is not, big capital letters, a physical process, it is a mind consciousness process. In other words, it is evolution on the spiritual level as happens in the human kingdom. It is an expansion of conscious awareness.
That's lovely.
This. Yeah, I love this.
Yeah,
me too. It was so appropriate for tonight.
Well, and during Christmas week too, which, and of course, the 12/21, which I, you know, I think a lot of people were focused on. That being first and foremost, for them?
It was for me as well, because I felt like I was kind of balancing with so many people, because, you know, people were experiencing it very intensely, and there were lots of questions about what would we experience. And as always, you know, I'm always the ET police. I'm always saying, no, no, no. There was a potential for 3 days of light or darkness, but that never happened. And, you know, even Dolores Cannon's beings that work with, you know, her people, you know, had been saying this. But, again, it's never happened this way before, so nobody was really certain. So, but it still was not built around fear, you know. And Squirrel, you need to update us on astrology, if you can do it without coughing.
Okay, and I promise, if you can't understand what I'm saying, you email me and I will send you this information directly.
You're actually doing beautifully.
Thank you so much. Okay, this is tomorrow, December 28th, is the final full moon for 2012, and it contains some strong energy of transformation and healing. The moon is in Cancer at 7 degrees, which, you know, Jackie,
is
my natal moon is right smack dab. That's why I think I'm having these clearing, this physical clearing that I'm experiencing. But nonetheless, okay, there are some memories so deeply embedded within the unconscious that they need to be exposed for transformation and healing to take place so they no longer influence your life or behaviors. Why hold on to painful memories from your own life or that of your family ancestors and your genetic lineage? I knew you would like that.
Uh-huh.
What could be the key themes or issues surfacing now? They will be around family, roots or belonging, rejection, abandonment, emotional security, financial or professional security, as well as death, dying, letting go of the past, and moving past old comfort zones. Be receptive to healing and also remain open to allowing things to wash away and prepare your inner container for new beginnings by being in the present moment. Let the raw emotion of rejection, abandonment, and emotional betrayal heal. Allow love to caress you and nourish you on every level. Remember the potential to clear away the stuck stuff and make you aware of the spiritual insight and purpose. It is an opportunity to be emotionally empowered and assertive. From the level of soul, the painful experiences reveal or point towards where you have closed yourself off to love or abandoned yourself. I know, I'd laugh harder, but I'll cough. Practice being responsible for how you emotionally react to things or situations. Be mature enough to fulfill your needs with the help of soul and the divine. The full moon in Cancer may feel extra potent on an emotional and psychological level. It has the potential to trigger extreme emotional reactions, even infantile reactions, with possible emotional eruptions. Leading up to and the day of the full moon and a day or two after, it's possible for people to feel especially prickly, cranky, and even act in passive-aggressive ways. I think that describes me. The theme of moodiness perfectly describes the full moon in Cancer. Another piece to the full moon in Cancer is that people have a tendency to live on autopilot, and they tend to carry forward sticky emotional guilt, painful memories, family curses, intense bitterness within the ancestral lineage without even questioning anything. And at times, this plays out in their personal lives or with situations in the present time. The old story repeats in a loop like a memory. The full moon in Cancer offers a wonderful opportunity to let go of being on autopilot and detox. Allow whatever is meant to be exposed to be revealed, that you can face it head on and move forward. It's also possible one's family or ancestors that have transitioned, died or left the physical body, will be around to support this important phase and transformation. They too want to contribute so that the ancient patterns heal and become whole and healthy once again. And this is by Dipali Desai, D-E-S-A-I.
Beautiful. Thank
Isn't that
well.
Lovely? your show.
Wonderful. That was wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay, so I want to talk a minute here about negative predictions and interference, and we'll get right into love. I had a call from someone this week who knew one of my clients and wanted to ask some questions, and she happened to catch me at my lunchtime. And and this really has to do also around love. She started talking about this being that was interfering with these women and kind of messing with their lives and this and that. And, you know, and immediately I was not happy with my response, by the way, and I take full responsibility here. Very simply said, this is not an extraterrestrial, although she thought it was a star being. And I said, they do not behave like that. They're way too busy right now to be messing around, you know, with a couple of people just for grins and giggles. So,
well, Jackie, what does behave like that then? Her unconscious or...
No, it's an astral. It was astral. And
okay.
This person was a doctor and her friend, a shaman. And they had even talked about wanting to heal it. And I said, that is not your job. Okay, that is not your job. And as I was talking to them about doing pyramided mirrors and cleansing their home and so on, and finally it started messing around in my crown. And I said, okay, just a moment. And I literally moved it right on. I mean, it just was so automatic. I try to allow people to clear things and do things on their own and not interfere. But, you know, it got in my crown chakra, and I was like, okay, enough. And but my point here was, you know, and I shared this with my dear friend Kathleen, and Kathleen said, you were being loving to the ETs, to your friends. And I said, of course, and I do tend to be very protective of them. You know, the ET police. I do get upset when, you know, they take a bad rap for things that has nothing to do with them. But, again, I could have been a lot more loving. I was pretty abrupt. So,
you think?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're direct. Direct.
I was direct. Thank you.
Direct.
And I want to talk about what's going on right now, and that we are seeing a lot of people out there that are still finding themselves to be short-tempered or cranky with laughs, and they kind of go from there to feeling very loving back to cranky. And it's a process, everybody, and I just, you know, I want to share that with you. I'm not excusing myself by making this statement. I'm just saying that you can find yourself, especially where you've either given away power or have not held really strong boundaries, all of a sudden finding that you're standing up for yourself or speaking for yourself in ways that you haven't before. And if you are, congratulations. Don't feel badly. Just for a minute, the masculine men, the outer manifestation of the masculine, which is the stock market, only one of them, and other arenas are shifting and changing. The squirrel pointed out to me last week, she said, did you see where the New York Stock Exchange sold? And I went, what? And interestingly enough, this never hit major news front pages. Some of you may have heard of it, but what I've been fascinated by, as I talked to people all over the world, nobody had. And I'm so glad you sent me the article. So what I found about this is that this is so symbolic because the New York Stock Exchange really represents kind of the core of the masculine energy. Money is masculine. Stocks are masculine. It's the movement of a symbol that represents money. And the stock market is so powerful that it's counter-cyclical to the real estate market. And anybody who's ever been in real estate understands that when the stock market is strong, real estate's usually down. When real estate is strong, the stock market's usually down. And it is really the kind of the core for every other stock market in the world. You know, it all goes back to the New York Stock Exchange. So this sale, interestingly enough, was made to an upstart company called ICE, I-C-E, which I thought was such an interesting metaphor.
Indeed. And it seems they kind of sneaked it in right around the Christmas season. It's kind of interesting.
Absolutely did. And the same week, the Bank of England brought a Canadian in to run the Bank of England, which is owned by the British monarchy. Okay. I was fascinated by this. It has never happened before. It is very structured in England, and people move into these positions. They went outside of that, even though Canada is under the Queen. I was shocked. So these two incidents were like a day apart.
So Jackie, I have to ask: was this a movement of fear or love?
With what they're doing, I have no. To be very honest with you, what I'm seeing is massive change.
Change. Which is kind of exciting, I think.
Well, I think it's a breaking down, a shifting, a changing, and of what has been before. And I think it's indicative of where we're going. But it also is indicative of what's happening with the masculine, this kind of restructuring. And I'm fascinated. Some men are really coming into their feminine. You know, some men are going through dramatic traumas in their lives, kind of a whole restructuring of their belief system, their financial conditions, everything, almost overnight. And fascinated.
And I think we talked about a couple of, Norman Schwarzkopf passed away today, and it looks like the senior George Bush is close. So a lot of that represents the change of the masculine patriarchy leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, Squirrel, absolutely. And I, what I'm seeing is unsettling and swift change is afoot. Lots of changes for people with their families, their businesses, their own lives. Many of the people I've talked to, all of their children are in, you know, complete, absolute radical change all around them. I am as well with my own children. I'm just fascinated. I would like to share this. I had a dream experience this week where I was with Dr. John Mack, one of my mentors, who I adore. And all during my dream time, and when I have these experiences, they are not just a dream. I mean, it's, you know, this is really happening.
Jack, I just want to point out that for some people who may not know, Dr. John Mack passed away what year?
September of 05.
Okay, so Jackie's having this experience with him, but he's not in physical form on the planet right now.
No, he's not in physical form. Thank you very much, Squirrel.
Well, I know you forget, but have new people listening, tuning in.
Okay, he was professor of psychiatry at Harvard, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he wrote the book Abductions. He spent the last 10 years of his career working with the abduction phenomena, much to the chagrin of
Harvard.
So, but what I wanted to say is that I came back and I had a number of experiences with him during this time where there was this exchange, and this is not sexual, this exchange of love that I could not translate into the physical. And I told Squirrel, you know, after, I said, I literally could taste him. Now, this is not a sexual connotation. But that kind of love that we would experience on the other side of the veil is so tangible, so beautiful. And to bring that back, I literally kind of floated all day long. And it was just amazing. Also, many of you are having very interesting dream times right now. They're going to get more interesting. I am. So let's talk about love for a minute. Really and truly, this is an opportunity. I'd say it's a job, but it's more of an opportunity to really go to love in every experience and to be in a state of love. It's not always easy, and I'm the first to say it. Even with the work I do, it doesn't mean I don't get cranky. So in 94, someone brought me as a gift a Lazarus tape on experiencing more of Lazarus' love, and I ran upstairs. They were staying at the house. To listen to it, and because it was a very almost like a blending, I was so excited, and I got angry while I was listening to it. And the whole time, I love Lazarus, so I was shocked that I would have those feelings. And I realized that, and for all of you, this has not been an easy planet to be on. you know,
sorry, that does make me laugh.
Of course it does. But the interesting part to me was that I could not receive love. And I've always had big groups and worked with people and given up my time and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, I've always been loving to people. I'm trying to figure out why I can't receive love. And that's going to be the crux, really, of where we go from here. Is being able to receive the love. And how do we become a conduit of that love? If we're just giving our love, okay, we have so much to give. Eventually, you're going to go into martyr, into victim, into overgiving, which takes you right back to martyr. Resenting that you're overgiving and it may not be reciprocated and so on. That's not the goal here. The goal is not to go into martyr. You need to be a conduit to allow that love to come through you, to open up to receive it. Receive it being the operative word here, in order to allow it to flow through you. It's like being a beacon. It comes in through the top and then flows out through you. I shared this situation with Lazarus because I was so fascinated by it. And that was my resistance to love. Then I looked at my life and I realized that love was not something I received. It was just something I gave.
Or something you had to earn, right?
Well, I pretty much had given up on earning love. That wasn't really a possibility in my experiences, although I tried. But
yeah, but that's kind of how I think most of us were taught. Like, you do that and then I'll do this.
Right.
Right?
Totally different. In something that high of a level being, saying, I love you, receive this love, open up, allow it in. Good point, though, without having to do anything. And
I have a hard time with that. I know I do. I'm so glad you're doing this show. Thank you.
So the reason I brought this up is when you open to receive the love, you may feel resistance, anger, even rage. And a lot of it is attributed to deservability, never really feeling loved in your life or unable to allow it in. A lot around self-value, self-worth. You know, if you go to Lazarus.com, Lazarius.com, there are some wonderful recordings that you can download. You do have to pay for them. They're not that expensive. On self-value, self-worth, self-esteem, love, big ones on love. The other reason is shame, and because we're a shame-based race, And if you go back to the Garden of Eden and that whole story and the whole concept of shame and, you know, Eve, you know, the fall of man and all this crap that's sitting in our collective consciousness and our subconscious and our conscious minds. If you haven't done any shame work, okay, very important. Again, Lazarus has 4 wonderful sets of tapes on shame. You go into the search engine, you just put in ending shame and they'll come up. If you go back into our archives, which are now free on the BBS radio, February, March of 2007, there's a total of 5 shows.
They're
about
wonderful.
Shame. Yeah, and the last one is a divine dispensation where the team just does lifting of shame. There is none, not me or anybody on there, just the team. It's beautiful. The other piece here is that if you're not being loving to yourself, it'll be difficult to be a bridge or a conduit of love, including to Earth. Without slipping into martyr, victim, or better than. And that better than comes from the negative ego. It's in that frequency and vibration of self-sacrifice. As you said, earning love, but it's earning love. It's a bigger game, you know. Then comes the entitlement comes behind it. Look at what I've done, God. I deserve to have this and this. And, you know, none of it works that way. That's the old way of looking at how this all works. And also, your negative ego will play all over that one. You know, look at how wonderful you are. Look at how much you give. You know, you're the most holy spiritual person on the planet. I mean, believe me, the negative ego will have a field day. In the announcement, we talked about being a master, and we aren't there yet. Both Buddha and Christ never questioned that they were loved. They knew it, and the love that flowed through them was totally unconditional. And that's really what we're striving for, toward, is that unconditional love, not the mommy love. You know, mommy love is, I love you. Where are you screwing up right now?
Yeah. And there are some conditions with it, even though we get over them.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to do mommy love. But the more unconditional we can be, the more we can allow that love to flow through. What's so fascinating is the easier it is to be in compassionate detachment. And from that place, we have no investment in the outcome other than being a conduit of the love. And that's the most elegant place to walk in that there is. Truly. Talking with people, encountering people, working with people, even people that might be unhappy or rude. Lots of people are going through change right now. There's a lot of fear running around about the future. You know, you've got the media with the fiscal cliff, and you're going to pay more taxes and, you know, all kinds of things. Lord, this goes back to what the Zeta said in the beginning, which is all of these threats to our welfare can take us off our path so quickly, so easily. So any amount of love that you bring anywhere you go, anyone you speak to on the phone or otherwise, can benefit greatly, even if you don't speak to them, just walking by them. We've been saying this for years. It's more true now than it's ever been. It's an exciting idea. But again, work with your resistance to it. If it comes up, you know, again, you know, I've had people where they've had resistance. Again, I can't say that everybody will. But if you encounter it, don't feel flawed. This is not about feeling flawed. It's about dealing with being a human being. It comes with the territory. That's it, plain and simple. So I don't know if in the beginning I said, if you have any questions tonight or anything you'd like to comment on, you can send them to Squirrel, just like the animal, our little animal, at wyom.net. And Squirrel's got her computer there, I hope.
I do. I have a question and a comment for the team tonight already.
Good. Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay, well, I'm going to go into channel. And,
okay. Thank you, Jackie.
And be as loving as I can.
I know you can do it.
Thank you. No, I do really, really well, except for my daughter. You know, we all have our caveats, our bugaboos.
It's just to keep us on our toes, dear Jackie.
I know. That's what I think all the time. Okay, let me go here.
Okay.
All right. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And there's Squirrel.
Hi. Oh,
you're doing well. You're doing well. You're clearing.
I am clearing. I feel so much better. Thank you so much.
You're clearing. All right. It's wonderful to be all with all of you. Very close to the beginning of your new year. A year that so many of you have waited for, this 2013. You've all come so very far. And we want you to understand that we are so excited to see all that you've accomplished. And you've all worked, truly worked, at healing and clearing and shifting and changing, some of you ad nauseam. And we promise you that none of it's been wasted. Every moment that you have spent listening to tapes, listening to radio programs, meditating, running your chakras, etc., has been purposeful, important. This lifetime for all of you. Well, we could tell you how important it is, and we've said it before. More pivotal than any of you can possibly imagine. And every one of you, every day will come to honor more and more the opportunity you have to be on Earth at this timing. Now, mind you, we don't guarantee that you won't encounter some challenges, but you have the tools now. And you do have the tools to create the kind of lives you truly choose, you desire, you intend. And along with all of that, the opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, to love, to receive love, to be a conduit and a bridge of love for your planet, for every living thing on your planet, for all of humanity. Now, we want you to be aware because we do read your energies, by the way. That's how we know you, understand you, recognize you. The more you do love, the more beautiful your energies become. The more you change. You see, there's the byproduct, the wonderful gift. The more you give, the more you receive, the more you change. The more beautiful you become. If you can remember meeting people in your life, for some of you it may have been a grandparent or an aunt, or some icon, even a movie star for that matter, that you perceived as incredibly loving, and looked into their eyes, you could feel something so amazing about them. Amazing. You could feel the love. You could see it in their eyes. You could see it in their countenance. You could see it in their energy field, for those of you that see energy. And we promise you that this will happen to all of you. Now, don't do it to become that. Do it because you want to do it. You choose to do it. You know you came here to do it. Don't do it to look pretty. That doesn't work. Hidden agendas don't work with any of this. But it is a byproduct. Your faces will soften and become more beautiful. All of you, including you men. It changes your aging. It changes yourselves. The more loving you are. Now notice we didn't say the bigger martyr you are. We said the more loving. What the channel was talking about in terms of being a conduit, allowing the love to come through you, to channel that love, to be a vessel of that love, feeling it coming in through the top of your head, out through your heart, your eyes, for some of you, your hands. What greater gift. But remember, people, the seduction of the negative ego to go into better than. That's not what this is about. Oh, look at me. I'm so loving. I'm really better than everyone else. You know, look at how crumpy they are. Not, but I'm loving. Don't give it to your ego. It will hurt you in the long run. Do it because it feels wonderful. Do it because you do love. Do it because it's an incredible service. First to yourself and then to everyone else as well. And some of you will balk at that statement and think, oh, that's so selfish. No, it's not. Not at all. It's elegant. It works. It was the way it was intended. Truly, it's the way it was intended. You have the potential in this lifetime to reach a level that you cannot yet imagine. Truly, you cannot. Beyond anything that you could conjure, you could sit around with all of your friends and, well, suppose we do this or do that, but you still can't wrap yourselves around it yet. And being truly loving doesn't mean self-sacrificing. When you're truly being loving, when you're channeling that love, you will know instantly, because when people walk by you, they will move into your energy field. Now, the one you have to be careful with is driving down the street. You'll feel cars kind of move towards you. So stay on the outside lane. Always a good idea. Both Yeshua and Buddha, when they walked the planet, people wanted to be in their energy, and there were many Buddhas behind the original Buddha. They wanted to be in their energy. If you look at the Dalai Lama today, look at the love that radiates from him. Unconditional love. Absolutely without expectation. And if you study his energy field and his countenance, you will see beauty in an entirely different way. You cannot look at the Dalai Lama without smiling. You absolutely cannot. It brings that smile to your face. That's love that you're feeling. He radiates it. It's in his laughter. And that's what you all have an opportunity to be, and to give, and to share. And your lives will be transformed by being the recipients of that love as it flows through you. Now, this does not require self-sacrifice. Does not, absolutely, we advise against martyr, because it'll get all twisted. All right, Squirrel, you've got questions for us.
Yes, I do. This question is from Sandy, and she writes, "I so enjoy the show. I have a question for the team tonight. I am wondering why so many of us, including myself, obviously, feel like we are in a quarantine or a void of sorts in our lives and are feeling incapacitated."
Well, Sandy, that's a very interesting statement. All right. There are some of you that have decided to kind of step outside of experience as you go through your shift. If you go back to the message from the loving Zeta that said, this is a shift in consciousness and in spirit, that was absolutely correct. Does it include frequencies and so on? Of course. But for some of you, this is so big because you're clearing so much from so many lifetimes on Earth that some of you decided to kind of step outside. Now, you think it's being done to you, but we would guarantee you that you have co-creatively decided with your own guides and higher self that this maybe is the best way for you to do it. To give yourself time and space, literally space, to reassess, to make the shifts, to recreate, and to emerge into the real you, the true you. We would recommend that you don't fight it. Our other recommendation is to love it, to be grateful for the opportunity to meditate, to spend time with your guides, to love yourself. Now, we will say this, once you get through that, once you really pay attention to what is the most loving thing to do for you, that quarantine will kind of go away. You won't need the quarantine. We hope this makes it more clear for you, Sandy, because you see, for some of you, distraction has been your way of getting through life. Let me distract myself with this. My computer, my iPhone, my iPad, you know, this shopping site, this television program, you know, whatever may be going, my children, my whatever. All my friends that are in trauma, my meditation group, the news. Where better for you to get in touch with your own guides, truly get in touch, and with you, Sandy, what do you want? Where are you not being loving to you? Where are you not allowing the love? You see, when you have the distractions, it's easy to ignore that and to pretend that everything around you is very, very, very real. Now we could go into the truth of your experience, but for some it's very uncomfortable when we would say to you, well, it's all happening in your consciousness, and it is spinning out in front of you and appearing to be real. But there are paradoxes with these things, and they can get confusing. So we'll just say, trust the experience, love it. Give yourself the opportunity to love you. And to allow in the love that is held for you. Get to know your higher self. They're trying to make much more direct contact with you, Sandy. And there are some gifts and treasures that they want to share with you. They want to communicate with you directly. Remember that they love you. And thank you for sharing tonight. All right, you have something else, Cora?
I do, but touching on Sandy's question, and I apologize, I should not have assumed that Sandy was female, and I did say that. But do you think at some point many of us have been sequestered from the distraction for a number of years and have worked with Jackie and you, that maybe there's a reluctance to get back into some sort of, I don't know, I mean, not that you'd have to go to the distraction, but just to flow back out into life. I find that my hermit-like life is, maybe it isn't the best life, but it feels pretty good compared to what it used to be.
All right. Here's what we'll say.
Okay.
For many of you, you have felt that you were kind of isolated, cut off from, either by choice or by circumstance. Now, it wasn't such a bad thing. It might have been a little difficult at times. May even have been lonely. Some of you managed to fill that time up, oh, very easily. For some of you, you already knew that when things started to make a transition, you'd step back out into the world in a more direct way, when the energies felt more supportive, really, and you could make your changes more privately. many people took created, if you will, hiatus from interaction. There are many people who have plenty of opportunity to be interacting on many levels, who prefer their private time, their quiet time, their sacred time, their magic time. And they find that it's beautiful. It connects them more directly with who they really are. You may all feel from here on out that you need to have more of that time. That you love it. That you appreciate it. You'll all have time to interact out in the world. But don't feel badly if you come home and want to have that experience we have, dear Bonnie, who 4 o'clock in the morning is in her magic room doing what she does, processing, meditating, connecting with higher self, changing beliefs, etc. Each one of you does it your own way. Now, the channel has complained for all 8.5 years about being isolated, insulated. But in many ways, she needed this time to make her connection so strongly and to feel so connected that going out into the world now, easy for her. Now, it doesn't mean that she's going to go out and travel the world, but what we're saying, though, she's ready now for more balance. But her time connecting to the other side of the veil, which for all of you, by the way, those connections will become stronger and stronger. And yes, many people, many women have chosen to not be in relationship during this time as well. We have some women, you know, 10 years, 12 years, 20 years, quite a few, actually. So yes, you've all been changing, shifting during this time in your own unique way. Did we answer your question, Squirrel?
I think that's wonderful, you know, but it's, since there's no time, like, who's counting, right? So what's 12 years, right?
Well,
okay, so this, this is a comment from Christopher. As I write this message, I am listening to beautiful, uplifting music in the background from the ET Healing website. This music grounds me on a daily basis. The two questions that I have asked myself throughout this journey were, who am I and why am I here? I know deep down in my core essence that I am not only Christopher, on the birth certificate, that I am something so special. I would have had great difficulties in the past answering these questions, as one of my addictions was chaos. Today, it's different. That chaotic world has slipped away, and I have found the answers within myself. I know I am a wonderful, loving, spiritual being having a human experience, and I am here to give unconditional love to every soul that crosses my path on this journey. Kind regards, Christopher. That's lovely.
Christopher, thank you so much for sharing that beautiful sentiment. And you bring up a very important point, and that's about chaos. Now, chaos isn't all bad. All right? Much can be created in chaos, but there comes a time when chaos as distraction doesn't work. And what's beautiful is that you found that. And what you've written here fits in so beautifully with what we've said tonight. Loving your time feeling connected, feeling love, and sharing love, which becomes very easy to do when you're feeling loved, when you're loving yourself, appreciating your commitment. And we want to say this. You brought it up earlier, Squirrel. Needing to prove yourself, needing to seek approval, seeking love and acceptance through the outer. When you feel the love, when you channel the love, when you allow it to come through you as a bridge, your need for approval slips away. You'll be able to recognize then when the negative ego is kicking in and saying, well, see if they liked you, see if they liked you. Or you were wonderful, you were wonderful, you're the best out there. You'll recognize the difference. That won't be your motivation. Your motivation will be doing what feels good. Because what can feel better than love? Except for truth. And when you're sharing love and truth, and we can go on and on with that statement, the opportunity for all of you, you see, is to find and recognize more and more of who you are. And Christopher, as much as you know about who you are now, there's more for all of you. You're still only scratching the surface. And that we find exciting.
So do I. And we're going to have to say goodnight pretty soon.
All right.
Move into our new year.
All right, Squirrel. Well, we'd like to open the door to all of you to call us in this evening. We would love to have that opportunity to love you if you will allow it in. Love you. And all you need say to us is, dear team, I'm willing to be loved, to receive it and feel it. Remember, everyone, love can heal anything and everything. It can change anything and everything. When Christ walked the planet, he never saw anyone's imperfection. He saw their perfection, their beauty. And he loved them unconditionally. Dear Squirrel, know that we love you very much. To all of you who listened in tonight, and whether you listen to us live or in the archive, we still offer this opportunity. We love all of you very much. Congratulations for the wonderful work that you're doing and all the exciting things ahead. We love and support you. Good night, everyone. Namaste.
Namaste.
Are we on or off?
I think we have a few seconds, little girl. Maybe just wish everybody a Happy New Year.
I think we're... good night, everyone. Happy New Year. I love you all very much. Thank you for tuning in. Squirrel, I adore you.
Thank you. Ditto.
What a trooper to be here tonight, as sick as you were.
Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have missed it. I love you all.
Good night, everybody.